Church family and friends and visitors, good morning. It's good to have you here as we come together again on this Sunday morning in God's house to worship. We are not only here with masks on in the sanctuary, but we have people that are out in the parking lot with the drive-in experience. And if there are people who would like to worship and need a place where you don't have to wear a mask, we have three rooms that are been set aside that have the audio being transmitted into those rooms, and you would be welcome to use those rooms if you wish, and they're set aside for that purpose. So again, I just want to welcome everyone that's here on our in a church campus, in the sanctuary, in the cars, and in the rooms that have been set aside. We're glad that you're here. Well, brothers and sisters, today is week 8 of our sermon series concerning truth. You know, it's crucial to know what's the truth. There's so much confusion in who to believe in and what to believe in our day and time. And that's why God gave us the Ten Commandments. Why God gave us the Ten Truths for living. Because the Ten Commandments, the overall intent is to teach us the truth about how to show love. And those commandments show us how to love God, and they show us how to love others. And today we're going to look at the Eighth Commandment and how it will teach us truth on how to show this love. And the message today is entitled, Prospering with Integrity. So here is truth number 8 in our series, Exodus 20:15. You shall not steal. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever stolen anything? Now, before you answer that question, I need to explain that stealing can take many, many different forms and actions of taking something that belongs to someone else. How do we steal? It's amazing the number of ways we can steal. You know, if you look in the dictionary, you will find that it has 138 synonyms for the word stealing. That's an extraordinary number of ways a human being can think up to steal or rip off something from somebody else. And that's what we're going to do this morning. The first thing we're going to do in explaining this commandment, thou shalt not steal, we're going to look at the many ways in which we steal. Now, we're going to look at only 6 ways because that's all we're going to have time to do this morning, but there are so many, many different ways that we could look at. Now, the first way we will list as a way to steal is by deceiving customers. This is not something new. It's not something just done in modern times. 3,000 years ago, this was a problem in biblical times. In Amos 8:5, it says, they overcharge. They use false measure. They fix the scales so they don't weigh proper and to cheat the customers. That's what Amos 8:5 says. Now, that sounds pretty current. When a repairman makes unnecessary repairs, or a doctor makes unnecessary tests, or a salesman skips over the fine print and you don't find out till later, or you sell a car and you don't tell the problems that it's having, that is what we call stealing in all of those examples. My daughter is in the process of selling a house just off the Lost Mountain Road in the Smith Mountain Lake area. And the real estate agent listing the house on the web was very creative. It sounded like a different place than the one I had visited many times. It seems like real estate language can be encoded language. For example, when a listing says starter home, that means one bedroom, no bath. If it says a real challenge, that means it was hit by a storm. If it says a fixer-upper, that means it's a dwelling unrecognizable as a house. Now, maybe I'm over-exaggerating. I know that. The point I want to make is that you steal from others when you don't tell the truth about it, when you deceive them in what they think they are buying or getting. A second way you can steal is by defrauding employers. Now, and I'm not just talking about the obvious. When a worker pads the expense account or takes home supplies or equipment or merchandise, I don't mean just that. But I'm talking about when you waste time on the job. The Bible calls that stealing. If somebody paying you for your time and you come in late, you leave early, you take 3 coffee breaks a day, you take a long lunch, there isn't a whole lot of time left to work. God calls that stealing. And he says, don't do it. A third way you can steal is by delaying payments. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:13, it says, don't take advantage of anyone. Don't hold back the wages of someone you've hired, not even for one night. If you have people that you have hired to do work for you, or you have suppliers who bring in things to you, or you have friends that you owe them money, don't say to them, okay, the check's in the mail, I'll pay up later. No. The Bible says, pay them now. Now, I realize that in this pandemic, the money to pay may not be available. And the delay is not that you are holding back. And I understand that circumstances during this coronavirus outbreak may require delays. And that's not what I'm talking about. The point is, don't take advantage of others by deliberately holding back what belongs to them. That is a form of stealing. The fourth way you can steal is by defaulting on loans. The Bible says in Psalm 37:21, it says, the wicked man borrows and never pays back. There are some people who get things with a loan and have no intention of paying it back. The most difficult loans that we make are made to friends and relatives. And that applies to anything borrowed: tools, books, clothes, musical instruments, any of that kind of stuff. What is it in your garage or your basement or your bookshelf that you need to go home and return to somebody because it's not yours? Some people call it long-term borrowing, but God's word calls that stealing, and it's wrong. Now, a fifth way you can steal is by defrauding or deceiving the government. The Bible says the government has been established by the Lord. And thus in Romans 13:6-7, Romans says the authorities are working for God. So pay what you owe them. Pay your taxes. Now, let me explain something. Tax avoidance is good stewardship. And I mean that in a good way. There's no reason you should overpay on taxes or not plan and try to maximize your money. You should do wise stewardship in paying taxes. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's what you should do. But tax evasion by false reporting, however, is illegal. And God says it's stealing. And don't do it. Here's the sixth way people can steal, is by defrauding the Lord. In Malachi 3:8, the question is asked by Malachi. He says, will a man rob God? And it says, yes, you rob me. But you asked, how do we rob you, God? And the answer is, by withholding tithes and offerings. The Bible teaches tithing, a tenth of 10% of what God has blessed you with. The first 10% of all I make goes back to God in gratitude because God has given me everything and I owe Him everything that He's given. But God only asked for 10%. Now, I don't know why God said 10%. Why is it 10%? Why is it 20 or 30 or 40 or 50? I don't know, but God asked for 10%. He asked that. God says, if I am using all my money that God has blessed me with, 100% of what God has given me for me, and not giving to the Lord back out of gratitude for what He's done, then the Bible says that's robbing God. Realize, in these 6 points, I've only listed 6 ways that the Bible talks about stealing, and there are so many, many more ways. But you get the idea from just those 6 illustrations. Now, the second way we're going to examine this commandment is to explain why do we need to be honest. First, we need to be honest because being truthful, it indicates that we are being like God. We're taking on the character and the nature of God. We're honoring God. People steal because they think they can get away with it and think nobody is going to know about it. You realize that, don't you? That if you knew when you stole something that everybody was going to know about it, would you steal? No, not likely. So Satan comes along and he says, but listen, you can take that because nobody's going to know. Besides, you owe it to yourself. That employer is not paying you as much as he should. You should be paid more. It's okay to take those things. It's okay to take those supplies home. It's okay to take that equipment. They won't miss it. Nobody's even going to know. And nobody will ever find out. That's wrong. The most important person knows what you took. And that's God. He's the one you're going to have to give an account to. Not anybody else. And in Job 34, 21, 22, it says, God carefully watches the goings-on of all mankind. He sees them all. Nothing escapes God's view. I may fool other people. I may fool the government. I may fool the insurance company when I turn in a dishonest claim. But I'm not fooling God. And He's the one I've got to report to. One day, I will stand before God and give an account. And I will explain to God why I stole something that wasn't mine, and why did I steal when He said clearly, don't do it. And that's when it's going to count. God knows, and God wants us to be like Him, to be honest, to be truthful. You know, if you're a parent, you're not only being watched by God, but you're being watched by your kids. Values are caught as much as they are taught. And your neighbors are watching you. What is your lifestyle communicating to your kids or to your neighbors? One of the greatest gifts you can give others is honest integrity. Well, here's the second thing and reason we need to be honest is because I will reap what I sow. In Galatians 6:7, the scripture tells us, don't be misled. Remember, a man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. This doesn't say most of the time, or it doesn't say some of the time this will happen. It says always. Count on it. Whatever you give out in life is what you're going to get back, even if you don't realize it. If I cheat other people, in the end, I'm going to get cheated. God says it will happen. Count on it. If I take advantage of other people, I will be taken advantage of. I will reap what I sow. Why do we steal? What motivates dishonesty? I think the first thing that we might note is greed. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And there's a false idea, there's a myth that says we can get something for nothing. But that's what stealing is. That attitude is almost irresistible. That's why people gamble. God doesn't want you to trust in luck or fate or chance. He wants you to depend on Him, not the lottery, not the casino, or some gaming features. You don't get lasting results or something for nothing. Another thing that motivates dishonesty is laziness. You know, when people are being scammed on the internet or on phone calls or in different ways, when con men look for people to scam, they always look for people who are looking for a shortcut. They are the easiest people in the world to con. People thinking of the quick fix, the fast deal, the shortcut, the get-rich-quick scheme. That's who they look for. People eager to get something for nothing. Well, third reason that we need to be honest is because dishonesty damages our character. It shrinks our soul. It shrinks our life. It makes us less than what we were created to be. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? There are dozens of ways to dishonestly make a lot of money real quick. What does it profit a person to gain the world and lose his soul? Proverbs 10:2 says, wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life. The Bible says that Satan is a thief. And the thief comes to kill and destroy and to take. But Jesus said, I have come to give. I came that you might have life. God is always truthful, always honest, always there for the good of others. Every time I make a decision to steal, it doesn't matter how small, how insignificant, I am choosing to side with the devil rather than with God. The devil wants you to steal, wants you to be dishonest, because every time you do it, you become more like him, and you become an agent in the work that he's doing in this world. He is the thief and the father of thieves. And for your good sake, don't do it. Maintain your integrity and do what is honest and truthful and right. A fourth reason we need to be honest is because God will reward our honesty. In this life, God will reward us, and in the life to come, in all eternity. In Proverbs 28:20, it says, honest people will lead a full, happy life. But if you're in a hurry to get rich, you're going to get punished. Honesty leads to a happy life. Why? Because you are like God. You have integrity. You will have contentment. You will have an understanding that this world does not have. But if you're trying to get rich quick, you're going to fall into problems, and you're going, in the end, to find the punishment and the tragedy and the destruction that comes from that. Your greatest rewards are going to be not here, but in eternity. God is testing your integrity now. God tests us so that we will grow stronger, so that we will grow in character and integrity. He's testing us in three ways. This is the way God tests our integrity. Through trials and problems that you face. And the way you face those, whether you turn to God and do it His way and do it truthful, or whether you turn to some other way or some other scheme that is not God, you are being tested through your integrity, through trials and problems that you face. And you're being tested through temptation to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. And you're tested through money, how you handle that, how you understand how you got it, and how you understand how you distribute it. The Bible says God uses these three things to test your life, to see what's important to you, to see what's valuable to you. So how can I do what God says for me to do? How can I have this integrity? How can I have this honesty? How can I have this truth? There is an important step on the road to integrity. And that is that you make restitution when possible. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. It doesn't mean that you're not at times going to take the wrong turn, make the wrong decision. But what do you do after that happens? Well, you need to make restitution when possible. Now, a good example of that is in our scripture reading this morning is about Zacchaeus in the Bible from Luke 19. Remember Zacchaeus? He was that little short fellow who climbed the tree to see Jesus. And Jesus came to town one day, and Zacchaeus couldn't see him, but he had heard about Jesus. He wanted to know more about Jesus, but when he came up to the street where the crowd had lined up as Jesus was coming by, he couldn't see past the crowd that was standing there. And so he climbed up in a tree, and as Jesus walked by, Jesus looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house today. Now, for Jesus to do that, to say that, was quite a scandal, because Zacchaeus was a dishonest tax collector. And in Roman system, the tax collectors weren't paid. What they did was they were given permission that when you collect the taxes from the people, if you can get a little more from them, then you can keep that tax for yourself. And what they would do, they would not only tax the people for what the king had said and the government had said, but they would put all of this dishonest reasons why they had to pay more taxes, and they were burdening the people, and the people hated them because they had the authority to make them pay. But the tax collectors was taking the money for themselves, not because it was really the taxes that was needed. And so these tax collectors became the wealthiest people in town. And they were hated because of the way they treated the people and the way they misused them. They were the most dishonest people. And here Jesus is going to go to this man's house. And the religious leaders were shocked. Why would Jesus go to this notorious sinner's home and be entertained over dinner with him? Well, Jesus goes, he has dinner with Zacchaeus, and he's teaching and he's talking about God, about God's ways, about God's punishment, about God's requirements. And while Jesus is having dinner with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, in this conversation, in this exchange with Jesus, Zacchaeus realizes that I've been doing wrong. I've been hurting people. And Zacchaeus said, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Because that's the right thing to do. That's the thing God is calling me to do. And he says to Jesus, he said, Lord, I want to do what is right. And if I have done harm to anyone, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I've hurt anybody, I'll give them four times what I took from them. I will give four times that back to them. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to do what is right. And if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to pay back what I've done wrong. Now, here's a guy putting his money where his mouth is. And that's called real Christianity's restitution. In Luke 19:9, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, because of your confession, and because of your change of heart, salvation has come to your home. And this guy became a true believer. Following Jesus is not just a matter of belief, but it's a changed behavior. It's living like God has called us to live. You remember when I started this message, I asked you if you've ever stolen. How did you answer that question? Perhaps you have. Perhaps you have sinned. Perhaps you have broken the eighth commandment that says, thou shalt not steal. Maybe you need to make restitution, like Zacchaeus did. Perhaps you need to confess. If you are doing any wrong thing in your life, maybe you need to confess that. Perhaps you need to get your life right with God today. Perhaps you need to change your behavior and truly follow the Lord in a new direction, in a renewed direction. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, no dishonest person will be allowed into heaven. That's strong language. That means you and I don't stand a chance. Nobody stands a chance unless you have Jesus on your side, unless you have Jesus as your Savior. We've all been dishonest in many different ways, perhaps. That's why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for us. That's why he took the punishment for sin. He paid that penalty for us. Well, we should be strung up on the cross. When I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus Christ, there is no way I can get into heaven, not on my own, not for what I've done and who I am. Because no dishonest person is going to be able to make it into heaven. And I've been dishonest. Perhaps you have too, at times. So maybe we should ask for forgiveness and ask God to show us the way and show us what we need to do today. And Jesus says, that's why I came. I came to save the lost. I came to save the broken. I came to make right what is wrong. So come to me, Jesus says. Come to me now, and I will make all things new. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we come to you today because we need a Savior like you. We need to put our trust in you, Jesus Christ. We want to follow you at the best as we can today. From this day forward, I want to begin living a life of integrity and honesty and truth. I confess that I have not always done the right thing. And where I have done wrong to others, I want to make restitution where I can. I want to be honest and live like you, God. I want to live like you are calling me to live. Oh God, I want Jesus to forgive me and change my life and behavior, and I want to follow you the rest of my life. And I come now to surrender to you, Lord. I come to you, Lord. I give my all to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who came to give me new life, who came to make me whole. Oh God, thank you for this day. I surrender to you now. As I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.